Service is the second setting on page 41. The liturgist is Mr. Darrell. Forget Darrell's last name here. I get so busy this morning. Darrell Lundby, who has been our intern for 15 months and who, in a gift to Holden Village, giving us even more time than we paid for, gave up one quarter at the seminary. So he finishes this December. And many of you are here because of Darrell's ministry to you. And we are glad he can be the one who shares this fellowship and praise and adoration that is our Sunday worship. The offering today and through this month is devoted to Holden Village scholarships. There are those to whom we owe much, and we do need in some small measure to repay people who have given us not only a summer, not only a year, but 2 years in residence and in work, and we want the offering to be devoted to this purpose. And we do ask that you, in your stewardship, remember also the village. The second setting on page 41, the opening hymn is
408.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. We kneel for the confession. You may be seated.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And the Lord forgives me of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God,
who hast given unto thee thy Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us the knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he gives power to become the sons of God, and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. As for me, I will call upon God, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
declares thine almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of thy grace, that we, running the way of thy commandments, may obtain thy gracious promises, and be made partakers of thy heavenly treasure, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end.
What was love is this?
Holy Gospel is written in St. Luke, the 19th chapter, and begins reading with the 41st verse. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the days shall come upon you when your enemies will cast up a bank about you and surround you, and hem you in on every side, and dash you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, It is written, My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people sought to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people hung upon his words. Here ends the gospel. We declare our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hymn before the proclamation, 151. Built on a rock, the church does stand.
Thank you.
Father, we who live in thy time, a time of thy visitation, grant us grace to know the things that pertain to our peace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone who has lived in an area subject to earthquakes knows how before that you feel the first tremor, you sense it. There's a strange hush. It seems the birds, the animals, all are silent. And then suddenly it strikes and you are just helpless in the hands of a shaking earth. Even before a total eclipse, something of the same happens. Stood on a country hillside at the last time in this particular latitude we knew one. And it was early in the morning, and everything had been gay. All the animal life seemed to be about its way. And then suddenly, as the shadow drew near, the sense of foreboding. And finally, all was still. There is that in God's judgments on history that we sense before their coming. The things that pertain to our peace are not so hidden from our eyes that only a few gifted seers or a prophet like Jeremiah can know them. A sense of the futility and emptiness of life falls upon whole nations and peoples. Boredom lays hold of their innermost soul, and God's wrath is at hand. This is a wondrous love that we have sung, a love that smites to cleanse, a strange wrath, a wrath which weeps. And yet the visitation is in history. It does not wait for the final day of the Lord. Our Lord speaks to his people. The tears not only in his voice but on his face when he says, O Jerusalem, if thou had but known the things that pertain to thy peace. He speaks in our midst in the same word this day. In our own time he sends his prophets. That which has a name for something and the name no longer exists. Describes reality means that it is through salt that has lost its salt, a light that is darkness, a temple which is not for prayer. And we all sense something of what God means in our own time. We cannot be in this place apart where we gain a new perspective on our daily life without knowing that something of Christ's tears are also over our day. The Proud Tower is a book that requires and deserves some thoughtful, reflective reading. Barbara Tuchman here, who has a superb style in our modern essayists on our times, has written simply a series of chapters on the nations and our own nation in the time before World War I. She is simply taking a little quote from Edgar Allan Poe that death looks down from the proud tower. As nations ascribe to themselves that which is not in their keeping, as they pretend to powers which are not given to men, they do not know the things that pertain to their peace and they are destroyed. We saw in Ship of Fools something of this sense of a shudder before God. The book, as I've mentioned before from this pulpit, bores us. A novelist who doesn't love her own characters. I didn't finish it. The movie is unforgettable. It's been panned because it seems like there's a certain kind of tour de force in having a dwarf be the kind of the deus ex machina, the God who speaks. But a dwarf does speak in this particular movie to us all. And suddenly it's not a ship of fools in the 30s on its way to Bremerhaven. A Jew says, but they will not destroy an entire people. but we are on the ship. And the emptiness of these lives reflects our own. God speaks to our generation also of a wrath which does not permit that which is emptied of its meaning to remain. It is destroyed. Your enemies will set up siege works against you. They will encircle you and hem you in at every point. They will bring you to the ground, you and your children within your walls, and not leave you one stone standing on another. This is not said with a raucous shout of a Jeremiah wrenched from his grief, as we have heard, but it is the tears of God upon every word, because you did not recognize God's moment when it came. They were so busy trying to be something they had forgot they had forgotten they were somebody. Ryler Dom, one of my great teachers, an Old Testament exegete at the University of Chicago, used to say, with whimsy and yet with despair, that one of the peculiarities of the Jewish faculty at Chicago was that somehow being the elect people of God was a moment of pride. Still, after 2,000 years, they have not learned from Jerusalem. And God had chosen them because, well, we all know, the Jews, they fill the professions, they're the smartest people in the faculty, they're outstanding, of course, they're God's people. And he'd forgotten, he'd taken them as slave people in the land of bondage, under an oppressor's whip, because he's the kind of a God who is the God of the underdog, the God of the oppressed and of the widow and the orphan, the God of the forsaken and the left out, the God of the unloved and the unlovable. And it was this God who said, I have seen your sorrow, I have known your affliction, I have heard your cry, and I have come up down to deliver you and to bring you up out of a land of bondage. But they forgot it. The temple was the work of their own hands. They forgot him of whom Paul can say, God belongs to the body, and your body belongs to God, for you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit in whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The sense of God making the whole earth his temple was declared by the psalmist. Swallow has found her nest, the altars of the Lord, but had been lost upon them, for they were so busy about themselves, so caught, captured by their own imagination of their hearts, in their own self-seeking and self-gratulation, that it was lost. They had not even time to enjoy God's good gifts. As the Deuteronomist says in those final chapters, that because you did not rejoice in the midst of the abundance of your gifts and serve your Lord with gladness, I will make you to serve your enemies. The goodness of each day, the time of God's visitation now, was forgotten. And the thought of der Tag, the day to come. And they were busy about their own things. We know from the parables of our Lord how he struggled, how God struggled with his people. Perchance they will reverence my son. This is the heir, come let us kill him. And the son weeps. Because you did not recognize God's moment when it came. Then he went into the temple and began driving out the traders with these words. And it's T-R-A-D-E-R-S, but it could be T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S, couldn't it? With these words, Scripture says, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's cave. You had made it a den of activity. That's the way we could say about today's church, couldn't we? Busy, busy, busy day. Busy nights, busy meetings. But to encounter God in this, to be filled with awe at his presence, wonder at his coming, and to recognize in the face of every man the face of Jesus Christ, to be lost in wonder and mystery that he permits me a pilgrimage with you, who are eternal with me. For here he builds temple eternals fashioned in clay, filled with his spirit, outlasting the earth. And how can we then be taken captive by that which we possess? For the earth is made not to possess us, but that we may possess it. God's sons and daughters we are called to be his priests, his kings, sons and daughters of the Most High, gods unto whom his word has come, and all that the Father's has is mine, and all that is mine is yours, Jesus says. And Paul says, for you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All things are yours. And he repeats it twice, so you don't miss it. So all this is for you. You need not be like one person said recently who sat here in our midst, unable to come to Holy Communion, that this person felt like a naughty child shut out from the celebration of God's children. And this person wanted in. Want in. Let it be yours, Paul says. Be reconciled to God. Let yourself in on it. For this God who weeps, who smites, is your God and Father, who has revealed himself in the face of Jesus Christ, who wants to take beggars and continually make them kings, who wants you to know what it is to be the Lord's, both with and without the apostrophe. Then you can understand the wisdom of that Frenchman at the end of the last century who said to his dear friend, one of the great writers of France, but who'd been writing critical things, and so the French Academy had not voted him a member. And he was grieving. And the friend said, why do you want to be something when God, when you are already somebody? And you are already somebody. And so you don't have to waste your life in being something or gaining something. Because God has called you his sons and daughters. His day of visitation you have known. And he is in the midst of the praises of his people. And he makes your pilgrimage one of song, a festival of praise, and becomes not the God who weeps nor who smites, but I am he who even dwells in the midst of the praises of my people. I am he who puts the solitary in families, the one who makes of this earth a brotherhood, not a battleground, and who gives a Holy Spirit, who heals our hostile spirits and lets us know the wondrous ring of his love and of those words, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so we hang upon his words, for we literally live by them or perish without them. This word, it declares what we are now, today, this day of God's visitation. A beggar being made a son, this Jack names, is indeed immortal diamond. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thee praise and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and tender mercies. We bless thee for the love which hath created and doth sustain us from day to day. We praise thee for the gift of thy Son, our Savior, through whom thou hast made known thy will and grace. We thank thee for the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, for the Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and godly men, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our heart all that our Lord hath done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness by lives that are given wholly to thy service.
Save and defend thy church universal, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Give it pastors and ministers according to thy spirit, and strengthen it through the word and the holy sacrament. Make it perfect in love and in all good works, and establish it in the faith delivered to the saints. Sanctify and unite thy people in all the world, that one holy church may bear witness to thee, the God and Father of all.
We beseech thee to hear us, O Lord.
Find him in 591.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.